the pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome back. Final hour of Monday has arrived. Jim is up next.
Danny Brams has got an important message for you. I hope you hear it. You know, I can't talk about it, and you'll understand. But it's a key to the whole thing. Let me just say this, Paul. Now, here's what I call about. Obviously, Augie doesn't have any respect for me anymore. I wasn't even imitated by him in the caller deal, was it? He didn't even mention me.
He did not even try to imitate the most famous caller.
What an insult,
ever.
Augie. You must be a paralegal. I'm going to get on your, you know what, all the things I've done with you. That's the biggest insult I ever had in my life. But who cares? I'm not relevant anymore. You know that, Paul. But here's where I am relevant. Was it you or Augie that mentioned Bear Bryant was 69 years old when he died?
Well, Augie brought it up. Yes.
Yeah. But wasn't it you though that said something about that part, that point of it?
Well, I said I thought he.
Anyway, let me cut to the chase. I had no need to waste time. Hey, Paul, you are only less than one year younger than Bear Bryant when he croaked. So think about that, Paul.
Wow, that's a positive thing to think about.
I know you don't want to hear it.
Man.
All I can give you is relevant facts. You know me. That's all I got, Paul, is relevant facts.
Jim, that's why I lean on you for...
Well,
salvation.
I'm leaning on you to listen to what Danny said about what the information I gave him. You know I can't talk about it. It's a key to Alabama winning the ball game. I'll guarantee. Guarantee.
Well, you.
I can't talk about it, Paul. You know that.
Jaden Daniels, it's a really a pretty good idea.
Did you hear it?
I know. He's told me, yeah.
Do you not? And that was a replay of 92 defense, Alabama. Do you agree?
It will wreak havoc on the other side of the ball. You're right.
You got it. And they don't have to do it but once or twice. It will shake the you-know-what out of them.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If they pressured more than they do, it would help too.
Absolutely. One question. You think Saban's smart enough to do that?
I do, yes.
Well, I know he's got some tricks up his sleeve. I don't know what they'll be, but I hope that's one of them.
Well, he knows that's the biggest mismatch in the game, and I fully expect Nick Saban to take advantage of that.
Thanks, Paul, and I'll be playing for you the next year. We don't want to lose you the next year.
No, I tell you what, I don't think I could afford to die right now. Thanks, Jim. I-Man is up. I owe too much money. I-Man is up next.
Well, good afternoon there, Paul. Tricks up his sleeve. The little feller's got tricks up short sleeves. I mean, paying off the refs, I mean, that's always a good start. But, you know, Paul, the number one question that's asked of you is what?
How am I doing?
Hey, look at you. You listen, you pay attention very well.
I mean, I think people don't give me enough credit for having any idea what's going on during this show. I mean, I don't know everything that goes on, but I pick up on every third or fourth word.
You're a multitasking little rascal. To be so old, you're behind Bryant's death.
Considering my state of life, I feel like I'm doing pretty well just to get up here on the podium.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? The number one question you ask all your guests?
You're going to have to help me with that. I don't pay much attention to the guests.
Well, what do you think about Nick Saban? Ain't he the greatest? You think he's going to win? Ain't they going to win?
That's true.
You bring up Nick Saban. You bring up Nick Saban more than his daughter does. Nick Saban, my daddy. I mean, you know.
I think you're right about that, too.
You know, Paul, I listen to this, and Jim's upset because Augie didn't imitate him. Some people you can't imitate. Some things you just let them breathe. And maybe that's what Augie did.
He didn't mention you either.
You know. Well, and I'm not been out of shape about it.
He didn't mention that other guy either. He didn't mention the three most prominent callers on the show.
Well, I think he did, but I think you missed one because he was talking about a bird brain.
Oh, okay.
But Paul, I mean, I'm kind of paying some attention. You know, ESPN's gonna be it in Tuscaloosa. And that just makes this a big ball game. It's a big game. It's a big game. Is it a big game because ESPN is showing up? It's just a football game. That's all it is. But it's a big game. It's a big game. Get your T-shirts. Got them here. Get your T-shirts.
It's a big game, but if you compare it to 4 years ago when both teams were undefeated, it was 1-2. The president of the United States was there. It's not quite that big. It's not as big as it was in 2011 when LeBron James showed up.
I mean, there again, y'all just, and then you got to play like 92. You got to go, I love Bama because I got to go back deep into the woods to find some. You got to be like 92 defense and the 71 offense. You got to run the ball, got to throw the ball, got to catch the ball, got to score points. T-shirts. You know, Paul, you was talking about Nick Saban and Bear Bryant. How about them Auburn Tigers over the weekend?
That was a significant win. Hugh Freeze won that first coaching matchup with Zach Arnett.
Yeah, you know, I wonder what Arnett – I mean, he had a good team there, and he kind of got away from the philosophy that was working for him. But anyway, moving on. You was talking about Bear Bryant had them deep tire tracks. Nick, Bear Bryant grew up hard, just like you said. And you know, he lived hard, played hard, and that's just it. And then we look over here at little Nicholas. If I was going to compare Bear Bryant and Nick Saban, I'd have to go back to Tom Sawyer. And Bear Bryant's more of the Tom Sawyer guy. He's the outdoor guy. But Nick Saban, he's Percy. He's that little indoor boy with a little velvet outfit on. And you know, Nick Saban's got a purse. He's got hair lifts. He's got chin tucks. He's got new hips, new knees, new feet, new fingers. He gets his fingers done. Gets his hair done.
Hold on. And he gets his fingers done?
Oh, you know he does.
I don't know if I could confirm that Nick Saban gets a weekly.
You know he does. And the dye on the hair, he's got about five different shades of dye.
That's not unusual.
And see, Bear Bryant. Bear Bryant just come in from
a lot
he's like
a lot
Kenny
of people
Stabler.
That age should dye their hair.
If I dyed my hair,
I'd have a black streak across the top of my head.
You could get some of that spray on there, but you got that great HD makeup and you make that scalp look pretty tough. The women always calling you wanting to rub that head.
Yes, sir.
But Nick Saban, he's a metrosexual. And you know, Bear Bryant kind of reminds me of Kenny.
I mean, what are
kinda,
you talking he, about?
Well, he's got a purse.
He doesn't have a purse.
Yes, he does. You see him walking in the stadium all the time. Nick, you go win. T-shirt. He's got a purse. He's got a man purse. But you know, if you're going to talk about but Bear Bryant, he kind of reminds me of Kenny Stabler. You just come in off the drunk as you are and just go about your business. But see, Nick, he probably has to have a psychiatrist.
Well, Coach Saban doesn't drink, so.
As far as we know, but I tell you what, that first Christmas party.
He says he doesn't drink, so I mean, you have to take. Why would somebody say they don't?
Let's go back to the first season he was there, and you know them running trees like in the Wizard of Oz came out there and got in front of him after a Christmas party. Nothing to see here. Get T-shirts.
No, I mean, there's a difference between hard liquor and eggnog.
As far as we know.
Well, I don't. I mean, I think you're making a pretty dastardly allegation there.
So maybe the little feller can't hold his eggnog.
You really hate this guy, don't you? Anyway, thanks for the call. I mean, it's just some. I mean, poor Nick Saban. Johnny B. Good is up next.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call. Evan Williams makes a pretty stout eggnog that'll be hitting the shelves here.
Sure does. I wouldn't mind some of that right now.
Yeah, one of those guys was Chesterfield's and Old Forester's, and the other one is Coffee and Little Debbie's. That's the reason they look so different.
And Coach Saban, he has the black coffee and Little Debbie's every morning. He doesn't need any stimulant other than that.
Hey, do you dress up for Halloween? I can't remember on the show. Do you dress up?
I do not, no. I just leave that to all the others.
I had a great idea. Just keep this one in mind, I'll go. You start up. You drink about 10 Red Bulls. You get you one of these fake Bro Hulk wigs, a tight black tank top, and a silver chain. and you do the show as Pat McAfee, just hollering and screaming and raising cane. I think that would be great.
We'll take a short break. Much more to come.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We are back, and Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Ricky.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Hey there, buddy. How are you?
Well, I could be better. Well, you know, we got it handed to us. I mean, I wondered about Arnett, though. Is he a little bit over his skis a little bit? I mean, because he's never coached before, you know, been a head coach, you know, and I wondered, is kind of biting off more than he can chew. I mean, it's, you know,
Ricky,
I've
had head coaches tell me the first year, it's not only the responsibility, but they've never had a schedule like this, where when you're a defensive coordinator, you don't do media, you don't quarterback clubs, you just coach. And suddenly there's a guy walking in Arnett's office every morning at 7 o'clock saying, okay, I've got this, I've got that, you've got to meet this person, and it's overwhelming.
Yeah, I can imagine, man. I just wanted to – that's why I want to give him a mulligan, because, I mean, you know, this is his first time ever. I mean, you're talking big-time football, man, you know. So is this, being a coordinator, like you say, is different. But I just hope that he can kind of get together. I'm kind of riding this season off, and just kind of see what he does next year. But I thought about it, and I said, well, you know, maybe they should have maybe gotten a coach that's actually been a head coach somewhere. You know, for maybe
Ricky, here is the reason that State did what it did. Every hour was precious back in December, and you would think that because of the tragedy, other schools, even those nearby, would stay away and say, let's this program mourn, but they weren't. They were coming after the best players, and if the university had not named Arnett,
immediately, you're right. They were
going to lose a bunch of. I think they were going to lose all of their best players.
Well, they did lose one. They lost Ra-Ra Thomas.
Right.
Yeah. So and I think Griffin was going to leave. Tulu was thinking about leaving. And I think they did talk him back in the stand. So I feel you on that. But I'm like I said, I just want to give him a chance. You know, I know it ain't looking too good right now, you know, I mean, but, you know, we just got to just try to give him a chance and let's see what happens the rest of the year and see how he does on the, you know, on the recruiting trail, you know, because that's where he has to be.
What he has to do finishing, Ray, I mean, he has to show something. And these next couple of games are they're very tricky. And
yeah, really.
I think a lot of people are going to be watching very closely. Ricky, thank you very much for the call. Cat Daddy is up next, speaking about a program not doing very well.
Oh, Big Paul, looking good, sounding good. And boy, you got that right. Instead of Beam a Ball, they're starting to call it Beam a Crawl.
Hey, but Cat Daddy, as bad as things were Saturday, don't tell me that old Clemson losing for the fourth time wasn't the highlight of the day.
Well, let me tell you how bad the Clemson people is. They actually coming in the liquor store asking me, do y'all sell Bud Light?
I'm going to tell you,
check their stats out on this. I know Randy's good at this stuff. But I believe, of course, Florida State's going to stomp their butts. But I don't think this will be the first time in at least 20 years they ain't going to go to a bowl game.
Yeah, I think you may be right.
Of course, we ain't either. We ain't either, but I mean,
well,
I think that's a long time.
But I think, let me look at the schedule right now. Clemson, they could lose another game or two. I don't think they'll come into South Carolina needing to win for a bowl game, but Notre Dame's a possible loss. North Carolina is a possible loss. So it's entirely possible. But South Carolina is going to need to win that game, too. I think South Carolina, how many losses you guys have?
We got four.
You got four? I think you got more than four.
Well, I'm I'm trying to be optimistic. I know we've had a bad, it's a bad time here in the Palmetto State, but as I said, yeah, the sales are going.
Cat Daddy, hate to break it to you, you got 6 losses.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what that means? You know what that means? You cannot lose again to get to a bowl game. You might have to beat Clemson to get to a bowl game.
Well, maybe ESPN could sponsor Clemson, South Carolina in a special losers bowl game.
we can handle that.
Here's
what you do. You play it in the parking lot at Junior's.
Hey, that works. And then we can have our own concession stand.
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
I like the way you think.
Yeah. Mark is up next in Mississippi. Hello, Mark.
Hotty toddy, guys almighty. Who the hell are we, Paul?
Yes,
7-1.
You guys are doing great.
Yeah, and Vandy, yeah, it was a good win for us. Good. Vandy can be a dangerous team sometimes. They've been known to pull off some upsets, so it's good to get that one under our belts.
Vandy,
so we can move
a year
on
ago, beat Florida and Kentucky on successive weekends.
Yeah, you never know about Vandy. But like I say, it's good to get that one under our belt. We're moving on to A&M now. They're going to be a tough out. I expect Vandy. This A&M is going to bring it. Jimbo's going to have those guys ready.
A&M's a very capable team.
Yeah. They can win. They're going to be a dangerous team, too. But we got this. In fact, the only team that's going to beat us the rest of the way is Georgia. Realistically speaking, you know and I know, Paul. We'll play a competitive game at Georgia. We may lose a fairly close one. We'll lose a fairly close one, but we got that. I mean, but other than Georgia, we got it. I see us going 10-2. We'll go to a New Year's Day bowl. I've got a good chance we'll probably win the New Year's Day bowl because the top four teams will be in the playoffs. And if we can win a New Year's Day bowl, go 11-2, end up in the top 10 in the playoff poll, which I expect we'll probably be in the top 10 tomorrow. That's the next best thing in winning at all, because if you go to the playoffs and you lose in the playoffs, you're ending on a losing note. So if we can go 11-2 and end up in the top 10, I'm good. And Paul, I think you're a stowaway on board the Lane train, but that's cool. I'm good with it. You're welcome on board. And one other thing, I need to hear more love for Ole Miss on your program, Paul. We're 10-1. I mean, we're 7-1. We're in the top 10. When it comes to Ole Miss on your show, it's crickets. I mean, come on, man, step it up. And if we beat Auburn, if we beat Georgia, oh, it's going to get crazy. It's going to turn me sick. It's going to get stupid. But you'll hear from me soon, Paul. Thank you very much. Bye.
Jared is up next. Hello, Jared.
Golly, Bill, Paul. Man, if I got to carve out an hour out of my day to get on here, man, y'all got to give me the back channel number or something. Come on, man. You know what it is. Tennessee Volunteers in the house. Before I go any further, I just got a couple of points to touch on. I know we're probably coming up on a commercial break, but I appreciate you having me on. Bama fans, I want you to listen to me right now. I want you to turn the volume all the way up. I hope LSU put 70 points up on y'all like they did the last team. If there's any team I hate, it's Alabama. And all these like goofballs you got calling in, man, give me a headset and put me on TV, man. Tell McAfee and Relish to watch out, man. A&M, Jimbo Fisher, you got a Gus Malzone situation on your hands. You need to cut them loose and move on, pal. Tell you, and one last thing, man. As I always call, I need you to say it, Paul. It rhymes with your name, Vol, man. Vol for life. I need you to say go Vols one time, man, and then I'll hang up and listen.
VFL, Vols for life.
Let's go, Vols, go, baby. Y'all know what it is, man. Bama, you stink. Go LSU. Texas Tech, Red Raiders, let's ride.
Wow, Jared. Enzo is in New Orleans. Hello, Enzo.
How you doing today, Paul?
Hey there.
A long
We're doing
time
great.
Stuff calls. But got to tell you, I am a little concerned with our defense, as I've been all year, of course. But we have a lot of injuries. Wingo. Perkins is gimpy. They brought back, what is it, 82-year-old Jenkins?
Yeah.
Back to help out that defensive line. Do you think, with our defensive situation, do we have the fire, the stop power, I should say, to corral up that
quarterback? Enzo, I don't see
and
how.
That hard running game.
I'm really not seeing anything good from the LSU defense.
Do you think it'll turn out to be a game such very much like the Ole Miss game, or just
yes.
whoever has
well,
the ball
I'm
last
not sure
win?
To that degree, because I don't think Alabama is quite as explosive, but I do think it's a – I'm going to spare you cliches, but I think this is a quintessential game where turnovers will probably determine the outcome.
Right. And, well, I tell you, Diggs has been running the ball like a monster. Plus, we got to corral those young kids that are monsters as well. To get that, if we can get any semblance of a running game, which is going to be extremely difficult against the Alabama line, but
Alabama's defense is really elite, and I think that's what I don't think we've given enough credit on that side of the ball. Hey, thank you for the call. We're up against a break. We have 30 minutes remaining here on a Monday afternoon, early evening. We'll come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
For the final 30 minutes on this Monday afternoon, and AJ is up next.
Mr. Frankenbaum, how are we doing today?
We are doing great.
Of course,
thanks
I know you're well.
In.
I know you're well with that. I checked your account balance. You're doing just fine.
Thanks.
You know, tomorrow is Halloween, and Johnny kind of beat me to it, but I had it in my mind. I was going to go ahead and throw it out there anyway. But I was going to ask you if you thought had a, you know, what's your choice of costume for tomorrow? Because I have a suggestion.
Well, why don't you tell me what I should do?
You should dress as Albie and do the show as an Albie, Auburn Tiger,
okay.
Because fortunately, you've been wrong early in the year. You gave us one win, then you went to two wins. You capped out at three wins. We're already at four. We're going to make some candy out of Andy this Saturday.
I hate to call you out here, but I predicted Auburn to go 7-5 back in August.
Okay. Well, I guess I hated Michael Brattonville. Anyway, hey, I do have a couple other suggestions for some of your callers' costumes for the week. But I want to before I go into that, I'd like to for you to just guess this caller real quick.
We gotta get BK out of there. We gotta get him out of there, Paul. He's the worst. He's the worst coach we've ever had in Louisiana State University.
That's Augie.
Number one, Augie. He's got a Siamese twin over there now. It's Logan from Alabama. They're identical Fairweather fans. And I suggest that them two fellas dress up as Connor Stallion, go to Bryant-Denny Stadium this weekend on the 45-yard line. You can both sit across from each other, and you can steal all the candy from the little trick-or-treaters. Nobody will even know who you guys are as a fan, because we sure as hell don't know what kind of fan or who you are now. War damn Eagle.
Well, a lot of anger there. Kevin is up next in Georgia. Hello, Kevin.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Paul. Thanks
Thank
for taking
you.
My call. First, I want to say go Dogs. And then I also want to say I agree with your previous caller, John, for what you do for college football and especially our conference.
Thank you.
You guys do an amazing job. We just came off a win that didn't expect to score that many points. I was there and I was very nervous. but so down the stretch, I mean I don't think the CFP rankings when they come out tomorrow, we're not going to be number one. But I think Kirby also ignores that noise and doesn't believe in that. So we have Missouri coming to Athens, Ole Miss coming to Athens. The scariest thing is going to Knoxville, because that is the most intimidating stadium I've ever been into in my entire life.
I think you're right about that, and I think a lot will be made out of tomorrow night, but I think Kirby Smart well remembers a year ago and He was waiting for Tennessee as the number one team in the country, dispatched with them. And it's just, I'm not dissuading anyone from caring. We'll be talking about it, and everyone else
sure.
will too. But it's a pretty insignificant moment who the number one team is on the first, on the final Tuesday in October.
Way too early to, it's way too early.
I mean, all you're really trying to do is get some concept of what this committee values, but it's not a complete set of work. I mean, Georgia has its three toughest games. It will have four of its toughest games straight ahead. Hey, thank you very much for your call. David is up next in South Carolina. Hello, David.
Paul, my main man. Feinbaum, you finally got to meet me in Knoxville 3 weeks ago. I've been trying to get through since then. I want to make sure that you enjoyed your time with me.
David, I'll try not to border on hyperbolic here, but it was probably the most important, significant interaction I've had this year.
Oh, well, I sure do appreciate that, because you know I am a number one Ball fan. I've been telling you that since I called, and I told you when I met you I wasn't going to say anything about your barber anymore, and I'm not. But he's boobs. We talked about AJ. He's a boob. We talked about AJ. He's a boob, and he calls this show with nonsense.
Well, David,
he probably doesn't even know who the Auburn head coach is.
Please don't let him know I called him a boob privately, okay?
No, you didn't call him a boob. I did. You disagreed with me. That's all.
Okay. I actually had, I had a stronger name than a boob.
He probably don't even know who the Auburn head coach is. He calls with a bunch of nonsense. He doesn't talk football. I mean, he sits here and belittles other callers. I mean, talk about your football team. Talk about what your coach and your quarterback and your running back are doing on the field. Don't call and talk about other people. If you don't know what sports are about, then don't call the show. Simple.
Well said, David. Thank you for the call. Jason is up next. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Paul. I want to say thanks for the call. I'm a longtime listener of the show, and I want to agree with the last few callers that you do a lot for SEC, and say thank you for that.
Thank you very much.
I want to throw a scenario out there for you and see if you can agree or disagree or get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Okay, we have Washington, Florida State, and let's just say either one of Michigan or Ohio State. All three of them win out. Bama wins out. Say we beat Georgia in a tight SEC game. Well, let's say Texas just runs through everybody, and then they win their conference title. They got the win over us. What are our shots of getting left out of the Final Four?
Pretty good. I got confused. Did you say Alabama winning out and beating Georgia?
Correct.
Okay, well, no, let me correct myself. Alabama wins out and beats Georgia, I have no doubt whatsoever they'll be in the playoffs, and I don't care what the combinations are.
So you think we could possibly pass a Washington?
We're gonna pass everybody,
or
because the most important thing is you'll have a number of quality. You'll have the win over Ole Miss. You'll have the win over LSU. You'll have the best win of anyone in the entire country.
Yeah, I agree there. No doubt about that.
It's not in dispute. And by the way, we won't be at that juncture, but I'm clearing it up right now. I don't care what all the CFP geeks say.
Right, yeah,
I'm saying that won't be a problem.
Yeah, I don't expect that. I hope for that to happen, but I don't expect it to happen. But I think it could get dicey, though. I don't know, but just because
Alabama. It could, but I think Washington's got a pretty good chance of losing Saturday at Southern Cal. Hey, thanks for the call. We're heading to a break, and we are back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.